Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You're on 101.9 Hi FM. This is Saul Rosenberg. This is the People in Perspective show, and thank you for joining us. Every week we have a very informative show about people in the workplace and people in business. This is the people show that you cannot miss. And normally the structure of the show is that we have a legal expert coming in at the beginning of the show to discuss something of legal relevance to the people, the area of people. And then we go into a main feature. It's normally a psychologist who comes on. And we talk about wellness issues and things that people need to think about in terms of the challenges that people are facing at the moment in this rapidly changing world that we are living in. And then lastly, we've got a recruitment segment where we look at the most recent jobs that are available, and we've got a recruiter who comes on and shares some of their jobs that we are very glad to have. And so stick around for that. That's always interesting. You might find something there for you. So this week we're talking about the close relationship between people and their information, and that's what we're going to focus a little bit on. So, and then in the middle of the show, we're going to talk about the amount of time that people are spending still behind computer screens as opposed to meeting somebody in person. So the whole show is really looking at a person's, person's privacy and personal wellness in terms of their work. And how do we regulate that? And, is our personal information being managed properly? Are we managing our personal information in working environments? If you're not an employee, maybe you've got a different type of relationship. Maybe you've got your own company. Are you managing your employees' data properly? Are you complying with all the laws? Or are you an employee at a company and are they asking you for things? And how do you feel about other people asking you for so much information? Data is the new gold, and it has been that for some time now. So where are we in that space, and how does the South African legal space at the moment help us to navigate the space? So on the line, we've got our legal expert, Shimron Shapiro, to help us look at the legal aspects involved with that. Hello, Shimron.
Hi, Saul, and good evening to you. Your guest, thank you for having me on.
It's great to have you on the show. It's nice to chat with you on air. Shimron, South African law, we've got the POPI Act, and internationally we've got this data protection regulation, GDPR. What do they actually say regarding employee information?
So, Saul, you correctly said that data information in the 21st century is the new gold.
Mm.
And until the implementation of this act, many companies were completely abusing people's private information and selling it on to third parties for very lucrative sums. Mm. So legislature obviously said we have to do something about this. And that's when POPI was enacted. It went through a lot of revisions and eventually was enacted in 2020 during COVID. And it has started to be implemented. I think people are still finding their way around the act. But the act is primarily to safeguard people's private information, and it gives 8 key conditions to do that.
Mm.
The first one is the personal information must obviously be processed in accordance with the law. That goes without saying, especially the constitutional right to privacy that every single South African citizen has. The second condition is that the information must be collected for a specific purpose. For example, your tax, your UIF number, so that they can give that information to SARS. The third condition is it mustn't be processed beyond that initial purpose. So if you need to use that information for a further purpose, then you've got to get the employee's consent again. The fourth one is the person collecting the data must take proper steps to ensure that it's complete, accurate, and isn't misleading in any way. And the fifth one is the information may only be collected by someone who's given notice to the person about the reason for obtaining this information and where it will be stored and the exact use of it. The sixth one is they must have security safeguards. So, for example, there must be firewalls, virus protectors around such data, wherever it may be stored, assuming that it's stored electronically. Seven is the details of the data must be made available to the person if they request that. And the last one is that there must be some form of accountability. So the responsible party will be held accountable if something goes wrong, if the data, something unlawful happens, if the data is stolen and it was extreme negligence on the part of the responsible party. So that's the main goal of Poppy. And obviously that has various implications.
So it's really the careful management of the data that it seems to be the focus, so that you don't, so that the data doesn't end. It sounds like what's behind all of this is that information doesn't end up in the wrong place, in the wrong person's hands. It sounds like
Correct.
what's behind that. I mean,
Correct.
because essentially the implications of somebody getting your, you know, if you think of it, what are we trying to prevent with this? Is that, you know, if somebody gets your personal details, the wrong person with the wrong information is essentially what this act seems to be trying to prevent. In the
Correct.
situation, you know, I mean, it's and there are also these massive fines which are part of the whole regulatory framework with Poppy. Do you know about that? I mean, what's involved with that?
Sure. So there are a wide range of fines, and it really does vary on the severity of the act and the circumstances, the mitigating factors. The most serious Poppy offences are set out in section 100, 206. So that says whereby, for example, someone intentionally obstructs the information regulator from doing their job, they or a offender fails to comply with an enforcement notice from the information regulator. Another one is if they give false evidence before the regulator under oath, or if they fail to comply with conditions when processing account numbers. And once again, with account numbers, knowingly or recklessly disclosing an account number to a third party without that account holder's permission. And then the last one, obviously the most serious, it's selling an account number to a third party. I mean, we obviously know the reason why the Act has put such severe penalties, which are from 10 million rand to up to sorry, up to 10 million rand, or up to 10 years in jail, which the offender can be subject to, but most likely a fine. I mean, the Act is it does have the provision for jail sentences, but the drafters made it quite an emphasis that the imposition of a fine will be far preferable.
So this is really what's behind all of these, notices that you keep seeing when a company's, sort of website comes up, I presume, is that,
Correct.
You know, I mean, that's the GDPR internationally, I would say, and Poppy's just a reflection of that to some extent. You know, that GDPR is, I mean, enforceable in South Africa over a sort of shared framework that we've got with that.
I'm not sure. I don't think that there is liability. I think the GDPR is a European Union statute, so I don't think we'd be liable unless you subscribe to some platform which is under that. So, for example, so social media would obviously be all under the GDPR, like Facebook. But one's personal company policies wouldn't be. So that's why the legislatures realized that it was necessary to create a South African Act, which would pretty much mirror what the GDPR says, and it would be enforceable in South Africa.
Fantastic. I mean, that helps us understand a little bit about the reasoning behind that Poppy Act. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago when in the media we heard all about that and what was going on in terms of regulation. Shimron, thank you so much for your time. We're going to move on to our next feature. It was a pleasure having you on the show.